just, righteous. All those attributes he's given unto us to walk in. We give you thanks for that, Father. We certainly ask for the wisdom of God to lead, guide, and direct us. And it's by your Spirit that you impart revelation knowledge. So today we call upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of us to bring revelation knowledge, distributing it to all those who are open. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Amen. Those that have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray the anointing on this message that would draw that person to the cross, that they could receive Jesus Christ and just take part of all the benefits offered through salvation in Him. We give you thanks, Father, for revelation flowing. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we'll do a little overview of them today, and then we'll get into a more detailed account of each gift in the weeks to come. But God is bringing us to a place, and we're here to anybody who wants to begin to walk in it. You know and you have the knowledge. It's great to know, but why do we know? All right, so you can have head knowledge and tell everybody how much you know? No. So you can, this is God, and this is what I love about certain ministries. They give you the practical application of the word so you can put it into use in your own life. That's what Jesus was all about. I've come to give you a new life, an abundant life, a different way of life, but you have to put it to use. Amen. First step, I know everybody in here has taken that step of getting saved, and you're in the family. I believe all of us here are filled with the Holy Spirit. So everything else, as we search out the unsearchable riches, amen, the never-ending riches, once we find out about something, then it says, Lord, allow me to put this to use in my life. Amen? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Just listen to this. God also bearing witness both with signs, wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Amen? How does God prove Himself real to you and I? Before we were saved, it took a miracle for me to be drawn into the kingdom. A tangible evidence of God's reality in my life. I made mental assent to Him. I believed He was real. But it wasn't until I seen something happen in the natural that was supernatural. That's what drew me into the family. Hallelujah. The ministry of Jesus in the early church was full of signs and wonders. Don't you think that that was the ministry of the early church? And Jesus ordained that we would just take off from that first account of all the signs, wonders, and miracles. As we read the book of Acts, that's supposed to be a blueprint for the church today. Now, I hate to give any credit to the enemy, but geez, look what's happened with religion and religious clubs. That have, you know, it's just a meeting place to do social events. It's not living out your Christianity. Amen? You want to go to play bingo? Go to the casino or something, right? You don't have to go to church to do that. Chicken fry, go to Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever. You know? What are we supposed to be doing in church? Of course we have fellowship, but what's our fellowship about? Talking about the word, sharing testimonies, you know, victories in the law. God did this, God did that. I got to speak to my employer and my employee and my helpers and stuff, and I told them about you. Oh, that's what we talk about. Amen? Right? Amen. Okay. It's true anyway. Amen? The ministry of Jesus in the early church was filled with miracles. Signs and wonders. I mean, you read every chapter in the book of Acts, and what do you come up with in every chapter? What's happening in every single chapter? Somebody's getting saved. Somebody's getting healed. Somebody's getting filled. Somebody's getting blessed. Somebody's, you know, were they concerned about financial things? They had all provision, it said. Much grace was on them. They were not needy. They had plenty of everything. Because you know what? They were like Abraham. They weren't concerned about the riches. They had other thing that was more important to them. Fulfilling what Jesus told them to do. And you know what happened? Wow, this is pretty novel. They went out. They did what Jesus told them to do. And guess what? Back here on the outskirts of everything, all their needs were met. They didn't have to worry about anything. They weren't concerned about where the, you know, how to pay this off and that off and whatever. My 401 or whatever, you know. They didn't think about all that because you know what? They trusted God. Oh, you're so spiritual, you're no earthly good. That's where we want to be, brothers and sisters. Amen? I guess not. If Jesus said, and we've heard it from everybody in the last 3 weeks, I want you to be more spiritual. I want you to be tuned into the Spirit. This is where your power source is. And then when we leave church, where do we go? Do we go back to the world, or are we putting to use what we just heard? Do we go into our prayer closet and saying, Lord, show me how to do this? Or are we saying, no, I can take it from here, Lord. This is what I'm going to do. All right. Okay. Back to the lesson here. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers. Right? I don't want you to be ignorant, right? Is that what Paul's telling us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? He lists the 9 gifts of the manifestation of the Spirit. These are supernatural tools and equipment for Christian service. We're all believers and servants of the Lord, amen? Tim came in and said, I got out here on the road just before I came in, and the Lord gave me a word. That's the way we should be living every second of the day in our lives, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit telling us, don't go left, go right. Amen? That's where we need to be. These are supernatural tools or equipment for Christian service. Are you in any? I'm in any spirit-filled Christian. Any spirit-filled Christian can manifest any of these gifts as the Spirit directs. Amen? And guess what? I've even heard it taught that certain gifts are more powerful and need more. No, they're all the same. They take the same amount of faith to operate in gifts of faith as it does for a word of wisdom, or for tongues with an interpretation, or a prophecy, or a miracle. You know what? If it's a bona fide miracle, takes just as much faith as a word of wisdom. Amen? When a miracle happens, who's doing it? It's the Lord doing the whole thing. All you're doing is being... You got to be like this. I believe that he's going to use me to tell so-and-so that they are totally healed of that terminal disease. Or guess what? When you get home today, you're going to have a letter in the mail, and it's going to say mortgage paid in full. Would that be a miracle? But see, we need to start thinking that way now. Don't you want to, if somebody had a real big need that you really love this person and you had, say, resources in your bank or in your home or whatever, personal resources to help that person, wouldn't you help that person? Like, if I had $1 million, I'd go down and I'd pay off Joe's property for him. That's just the love of Jesus in me. So I'm believing, Lord, for $1 million to pay his property off. Amen? So he can live free. Hallelujah. He's already free anyway, and he can believe for the same thing, but I want to help my brother. Amen. See, when our hearts are like that, you're opening yourself up to the miracle flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you can be a distributor of these nine gifts. But you got to be this way first. I believe Jesus wants to use me in these nine gifts more than I want to be used. And when you do that, you're going to open the door up and the Holy Spirit's going to start talking to you more. And he's going to start, you know, he's going to see if you're going to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. Amen? Anybody ever happened with God that way? Where you asked for something and then all of a sudden it happened and you went, I was just kidding, Lord. Anybody? Right? I guess I'm the only one that that's happened to then. You know? But when it happens, we should go ahead and take the step and say, well, okay, Lord, you said I could do it. I'm going to do it. I'm getting out of this boat. I'm going to try walking on water today. Help me, Lord. Amen. I mean, what's, you know, you can get out, you can sink, but at least you tried, right? That's what I think the Lord's just waiting for with some of us. And when we finally get out of the boat and we start walking on the water, we're going to go, wow, it really works. We'll be like praying for Peter to get out of jail, and he's there knocking on the door, and we're going, wow. How many have had that kind of an experience with the Lord? You prayed for something that happened, you went, wow, that was quick. Wow, that was so fast, Lord. You know, you're missing something, and my wife said, well, I couldn't find it, and looked for 3 days, and the next day it's sitting on top of her bureau. You know God put it there, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 describes supernatural weapons, the supernatural equipment that belongs to every Spirit-filled believer. That's me. The chapter describes the divine supernatural gifts that God has set into the body of Christ. Are you part of the body? These gifts are supposed to be everyday tools. See what we're talking about? We're in a new kingdom. You know, just to use Joe as an example, he goes out, he uses the lawnmower, he uses the string trimmer, he uses whatever, the truck, and he pulls his stuff, all the equipment around. And God says, those are natural tools. But you're not in that kingdom no more. You're in this kingdom. Here's your tools. Word of wisdom. Wow. Discerning of spirits. Right? Miracle working powers flowing through me now. Wow. Faith that moves mountains. Wow, huh? It's easier to operate in the Spirit when you start believing that these things are for me today. Typically, most churches, and I said this by the Spirit, have become religious social clubs. Men's breakfast, right? We all had them. Chicken fries, yard sales or tag sales. That's not what the church is designed to do. It's not a bingo hall, is it? It's a spiritual hospital for the people. For believers to come to get built up in their faith, and for people to come that are sick and tired of the world to get set free. Amen? And God's expecting you and I to be Jesus to those people. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for a pat on the back and a go your way rejoicing. They're looking to get healed or set free and blessed. Amen? They're looking for some money. They're looking for whatever it takes. And we're supposed to be the ones that are giving it. Let's go ahead and get into the flow of the Holy Ghost. Tragically, a social club void of supernatural power and impotent in the face of Satan and demonic forces. You have authority and power over every demonic force. Amen? What does it say in Luke chapter 10? I give you a power to walk over Satan, scorpions, every demon. Mark 16 says, you will cast out devils in my name. Do we have any fear of those things? Don't get sucked into the devil's tricks of that he, you know, all the movies and all the different lies and fake news about there's some sort of power that the devil has. He's got no power. Tim said it earlier on the other side. He says, the only thing Satan has is what we allow him to do when we agree with him. That's his power. Amen? He uses your authority to accomplish his task. Isn't that a sad thing? When you look at all the destruction in the world today and all the things that are happening, he's using God's stolen power to do it. Amen? And we're set here to take authority over that. Are you ready to do it? I am. Let's go ahead and get it done. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now about spiritual gifts, special endowments of supernatural energy, right? I do not want you to be uninformed or have any misunderstanding about them. Is God trying to keep us, anything in this, he's given us this word, right? Is there anything in here that he says, I don't want you to know about it? Is that our God? What kind of Bible do we have? We have a Bible that if we read it, we know what it says. It says, he's freely given us all things. And it says in Corinthians, I've given it to you by my Spirit. And if you ask my Spirit, he will let you know everything you ask. What do you want to know about? All right, there are certain things he might say, like the time of my return. He's very specific and says, no man knows the time or the hour. Should we ask him about that? No. Why? He says, nobody knows the time or the hour. But he says, look, I'll inform you the signs of the times. I'll let you know when it's getting close. But he says, I'm Jesus, and only the Father knows. I don't even know. Amen? That's the triune Godhead, and the Father has one little piece of information that he's waiting to give Jesus. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So forget about asking about that, but everything else you want to know, he'll let you know. Right? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? He says, there are so many things that we look at in the natural and we try to figure out why things happen. Only God knows those things. So if you're tied directly to that question, he'll let you know. But it's not sometimes for us to go around and tell everybody about it. He'll personally say, Joe, I love you, but look, I know who you are. Keep your mouth shut about this. So what do? We're like the madman, go tell everybody. No, we got to learn how to take that love letter. And because it's for me, oh, thank you, Father. I'm going to treasure that. Amen? How many know that you've been talked to by the Lord in some areas that you wouldn't share with anybody else? Amen? That's why he's your personal Lord and Savior. This is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, that he's getting us to a place of cooperation with him. Amen? When you can share intimate details about somebody who says, look, I told you about this person's intimate details, so you're not going to tell everybody else, but you'll know how to minister in my spirit to them and help them get free. Amen? Not for you to blab all around town about it, right? Hello, right? We're not like the world. We're not going to go on Facebook and everything and let everybody know about the dirt. No. Because God says, I trust you and I know. You know how much I loved you and set you free of certain things. Amen? I'm going to use you to help set somebody else free. Amen? That's one of the gifts. That's part of the divine gifts. Amen? He don't want you to be uninformed or have any misunderstandings about them. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are distinctive graces, gifts of grace, but the same Holy Spirit that works all of them. Amen? Distinct graces. Amen? We talk about this covenant of grace, but you know that there are thousands, diversities of graces under that title of grace. You could call a word of wisdom a grace. Amen? You could call divine health a grace. I'm walking in the grace of divine health. Woo! Unmerited. Freely given. I didn't have to earn it. He gave it to me. Amen? I'm operating under the gift and the grace of divine prosperity. Amen. He is my source and has supplied all my need. Whatever it is that you want from God, and He's already purchased it, that's a grace. Amen? You just get to open your arms up like a big funnel and go, woo, hallelujah. God loves it when He can funnel His graces on you, and you turn around, we were singing about it, and give Him all the glory for it. Amen? He wants you to be a spokesperson of His grace and glory. I mean, there was a book on the other side of all these guys that went through prison and they got out of prison and are serving the Lord, and it says, Trophies of God's Grace. And it was a mean, bad dudes, murderers and thieves and all sorts of despicable, we would count as despicable people, who are now righteous, cleansed by the blood, serving Jesus. Amen? Wow. That's awesome. Hallelujah. You are a trophy of God's grace. Amen? Look where we came from. Hallelujah. And God loves us. Wow. That's incredible. Hallelujah. Now, there are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are distinctive varieties of ministry, but the same Lord Jesus Christ we are serving. You get to see the triune Godhead in these scriptures. There are diversities of activities, but the same Father God who works all in all. Distinctive varieties of operation, but the same God the Father who inspires and energizes them all in us to achieve, listen, His purposes. None of these things are used for selfish use. And that's where the gifts of the Spirit, the enemy will turn the tables on that and say so many charlatans and people that are false prophets and false ministers had used this for selfish gain years ago. And they're still doing it. But that's not you and I. We have pure motives for the reason that we want to be used in the gifts, right? You don't want to do it so you can get a big name for yourself. You want to do it at the heart of your heart is, I want to help somebody. Amen? That's the only reason you want to flow in the gifts. And you get blessed on top of, it's like Jesus said, that ministered to that woman. Oh, I got blessed by blessing her. I got food you don't know of. I had a meal in the Spirit telling her and ministering to her and getting her excited about God. Amen. You leave the place feeling good, almost better than the person you ministered to. Amen. That's an awesome, like, what do you call that? Exchange that's happening when you're ministering to somebody. You're excited about telling them about the Lord, or ministering gifts of the Holy Ghost on them, or praying for them for healing, or whatever it might be. And then they come back and they say, I'm free. I got blessed. Or so-and-so, you prayed for my dad and he's healed. Wow. Praise God. Amen? That's where God wants us to be in the walk of Christianity on the earth. Looking excited, like saddling up those horses every day. We got a trail to blaze, right? To do something for the Lord. There are diversities of activities, same God the Father, And the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each for the profit of all. Isn't that just like God? To each believer is given the manifestation of the Spirit as a means of helping the entire church. You thought you were blessing one person? You know, the way you figured it out, this was going to happen to be a blessing. When God gives you a supernatural gift, not only are you blessed and they're blessed, but everybody around them and around you gets blessed at the same time. Man, it's crazy how good God can work everything out for everybody's good through one of these gifts. Remember the one guy in the book of Acts, he was crippled and he stood him up? And he said, it was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that give this man his perfect health today. He stands here, healed. And then the next chapter says, 3,000 people got saved because of this one healing. Right? But Brother Hagin was ministering to that one guy and he got healed. And the next week there were 25 of his relatives in the stands. Why did they come? Because he got healed. Really? They want to come. They want to find out about this God that he served, that healed him. That's where you and I are at today. You know, that's our motive. That's the intention of our heart. This is what we want. We want to get people to this place so they receive, so it blesses their entire families. Wow, huh? Notice carefully that these divine supernatural gifts of the Spirit are given to every believer, not just the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. Now, we have gone, for 30 years in Christianity, right? Oh, let's go see Brother Hagin because he moves in the gifts. That's true, but you know what? God wants you to move in the gifts. God bless Brother Hagin for fulfilling the gift and the call on his life. But what about us? How many of you, when you're growing up, you know, Bill being a little league guy, you know, he had the team there, the Oilers, right? City Cole. All the little kids on the bench, right? Did any of them want to sit the bench, Bill? They all want to play, right? I want to get in the game. But as Christians, some of us are just satisfied watching the game. That's good for the mothers and fathers of the kids. But how about you? You know, you used to play ball, and you played until you couldn't play anymore. Then you wanted to find an old band's league where you could play again, right? I want to get in the game. But with God, he says, you're never out of the game. I don't have a second, third, or fourth string. I've only got a first string. You're it. You're on the first string. You're plan A. And he says, I put you wherever you are right now on the earth to be plan A to whoever you talk to. That's it. That's a pretty good plan right there. I don't have to be concerned about, you know, I'm called to some fivefold ministry. No, how about the neighborhood you're in? Wherever you're at, right? There we go again. Hallelujah! I can do it, Jesus. Amen? It's not Christianese. It's living a lifestyle. Being a Christian. They can be gay. They can be a sports fanatic. They can be gamblers and casino goers. They can be all those things, but how about we just be a Christian, right? And do what we're supposed to do, right? You know, lay hands on them if they're sick. Tell them about Jesus if they get mad. Don't get mad back, right? Cast the devil out of them as the Spirit directs. If you know, somebody's bothering you, I bind you, Satan. Shut up, right? Just being a Christian. That would be wonderful. Amen. But, I mean, we're doing it to a certain degree. I think the encouragement is we're at a place in life where we shouldn't. I think Tim said it yesterday. I don't care anymore. I don't care what they think anymore. Well, we should never care about it, because who are we representing? When we're talking and doing the things of the Lord, it's Jesus said, they're not mad at you. If they get mad, who are they mad at? They're mad at Jesus. He can handle it. Amen? He took care of it. He hung on the cross and said, forgive them. Didn't he not? They spit at him. They pulled his beer out. They beat him. They couldn't even recognize him. And we're concerned about, they might not like it if I use the name of Jesus and praise God right here in the office. Right? Or wherever, you walk up to your customer and say, oh, hallelujah, praise God, how you doing today? What? Right? But that's the way we should be, right? That's, if we're Christians, that's not the way we should be. Hallelujah. Every believer includes me. Manifestation means a showing forth. Remember we said God is a show-off God? I mean, like parting the Red Sea. Wow, huh? I want to see some things like that. But you know what God's saying? I want you to do it. I want you to go down to the Thames River and take your cane and hit the water with it. Amen? Wouldn't that be something else? But he said that happened. Anything that happened in this book can happen today. Amen? Like the guy, the prophet said, go look. There's more guys on our side. All we can see is the armies. But you know what? Those people over in Israel that fought that seven-day war, they had all these angels fighting for them. Hallelujah. Or George Washington standing on his horse, and a guy couldn't shoot him, or he said, I shot him 5 times, but the bullet bounced off him. Wasn't time for him to die, right? Read that book, Bulletproof George Washington. The guy was a crack shot. I shot him, nothing happened. I shot him again, nothing happened. He said, after the 4th time, I just said, forget it. God's got something for this guy to do, and I can't touch him. Amen? Kind of sounds like Trump. They're trying to shoot him with verbs and letters and words and fake news and everything else, but it's bouncing off him. Amen? You can't mess with God's anointed. Amen? You are God's anointed. If someone's trying to do something illegal to you or steal your promotion or try to take advantage of you, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person because God's going to, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Amen? You say, Lord, you know they're taking advantage of me? I put them in your hands. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Then you got to do this. Not talk bad about them. Whoa, that's the hard part, right? I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything about them. A showing forth of his gifts, his presence through us, so everybody can profit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. The believer, that's me. I am the UPS man. Amen? Or do you like FedEx? You're the FedEx man. How about you? Do you like the U.S. Post Office? You're the U.S. Post Office man. Oh, wait, we can't say man anymore. Person. I'm the delivery person. Amen. Hallelujah. And God says, I want to use you to deliver my power to a lost and dying world. And once you start doing this, now they're going to start wondering, because man is moved by the outward appearance. The unsaved man looks at the outward appearance. Is that not true? Boy, she's a beautiful woman, but she's rotten inside. But man, what a body, right? No, she's evil. She'll cut you. She'll kill you. And there's men that are the same way. They look great. Man, buff, destroy you, throw you up like a paper bag and toss you out the window, right? How does God look? He looks right into your heart. Now, it's okay if you're good looking and you've got a good heart, but even if you're ugly, you still can be good looking. Amen? Doesn't matter about the outward appearance, does it? What does it matter to God? It matters to what you are inside. Amen. And guess what? All of us are born again. Brand new creatures. Wall to wall Jesus. Amen. Looking good. Hallelujah. Well, we're just about out of time, so we're going to stop here. And next week, we're going to pick up starting to describe the gifts. Father, we thank you that the whole intention of today's message was to encourage us to come to a place wherever we are in our walk, whether we're out there and we're manifesting God's glory to a certain degree, God is saying to us today, all right, it's time to just help, just turn up the volume just a little bit more. Just, you don't have to go crazy. Just turn the volume up a little bit more. Amen? Be a little bit more outspoken. When I urge you and give you a little unction, just go ahead and take that first step. You will be surprised at how much fruit you would bring forth. As you yield to the still small voice inside of you and just receive that unction and do what I'm asking you to do. It might be just a word of encouragement to somebody. Or you may get a word of knowledge to let somebody know something. Or you may get a word of wisdom. Somebody, and don't be surprised when some people start asking you some intimate questions about their own lives. And what do you think about this? And how would you approach that? Those are divine invitations for me, says the Lord, for you to interject my glory into them. So be bold and be strong and yield to me, and each time you do, your confidence will get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it'll be a change in the way you live, like night and day, says the Lord, and you'll be flowing in my spirit stronger than you've ever done before, and we'll all rejoice over it, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, thank you, Lord. Be blessed on the TV. We'll see you next time. Amen. Everybody blessed? Everybody walking in divine health? Father, I just thank you for the gifts of the Spirit flowing through this congregation. And let the blessing of God be upon these men and women of God throughout the week. Wherever they are, Lord, hallelujah, divine favor and abundance and supernatural things flowing through them. We give you thanks for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.